It's good to be here this morning. I didn't tell the young people in the teen class that Brother Phil has asked to take some time off. And Brother Painter's going to fill in for him, but not today. So if there's any teenagers here in the building, come downstairs to the adult class, please. Anyone that's upstairs that's not disabled, come to the dining room, please. I don't want anyone upstairs that's not disabled. Need to be in a class somewhere. So if any of the ushers or anyone's upstairs, please send anyone up there back to the dining room, please. Except, of course, for those that are not able to come up and down the stairs. All right. Well, I know there's still some people aren't going to make it back till the evening service. I know that Brandon and Caleb and Zach are piddling around in Dallas doing something. They asked permission, and I gave it to them. I guess I'm pretty loose. But Caleb, he's been going off so much lately. I told him, I said, look, when you get married, all this traveling is going to have to stop. He said, well, it's not going to be a problem once I get married. So... these young men and women there. You know, all you have to do to understand them is just go back about 30 years and think how you did it. You know, I know Brother Jaron is back from, I think he got back late last night from Germany. He's been gone to Germany for a month. Anyway, it's good to have Brother Jacob Durham, his wife Terry, be here, I'm sure, later. And we're glad to have them with us today. And from Republic. I was in the Dominican Republic, I guess that's where I was when Brother Bryce Parker was here. I think I didn't get in till late that night or something. Was that when were y'all here when he was here? Y'all had got back on Wednesday, and y'all got back Tuesday. We didn't get back till Wednesday night after service. So. Oh, I left before. That's when it was. All right. Well, I knew it was something like that. Can't keep up. All right. Does anyone have any Bible questions before we get started? Brother Jerry's in there washing dishes, so he's exempt today. Last week, or was it last week, when we were talking about the just, and Brother Boyd brought up to me after service, we were talking about the being justified by faith. And then he brought up the scripture in second is James 2, isn't it, Brother Boyd? Let's see here if we can find that scripture right quick. Well, yeah, it's 2:17. Without works, faith is dead. But in I think Brother Mark was talking about the 24th verse where it says, "You see then how that by works a man is justified, but not by faith alone." Because we were saying, you're quoting or reading out of Romans 5 that says you're justified by faith. And James brings a little bit more balance to it here in the way that he's saying it. They're both saying the same thing if you read the whole context. That he's trying to show that just believing, James is working on the fact that just believing in Christ or believing that the Word of God is God's Word or that it's true is not, that won't justify you. Paul's working from the standpoint of faith is not faith unless it has works, unless it does, unless you believe to the point that you're obedient to what you do believe. And so, but James brings a balance to it here where he shows that without works, so if you really believe the Word of God, and you believe it's true, then you'll obey it. If you don't, then it's just spirit of rebellion and your faith. You can say, I believe the Word of God, and there are people. There are people that believes in the Word of God, but they don't obey it. And so their faith is in vain. Their faith isn't valid. But true faith, if you... has works with it. We do have to have action with what we believe. And so I just thought that was good that Brother Boyd brought that out. I told him he should have mentioned it during Bible study where we'd have got it at that time. Of course, faith, again, you know, there in Ephesians 4, our cardinal scripture in the body, that there's one faith. And there, you have to see that faith is more than just believing. But Paul say it in Romans? Is it in Romans 10? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And how shall they hear except there be a preacher? So there has to be an anointed, a gift of anointed Word of God going forth from a gift, a ministerial gift. God's placed there. That's how, you know, I've worked on this, on these seven spirits of God. I think I'm about to convince the brotherhood. I've never went over it without opposition. Every time I've explained the seven spirits of God being God and Christ and the fivefold ministry, I've received opposition. Even one time they said, well, if you want to use it in application, you can use it that way, but I don't believe it. That's where the seven spirits of God reside or where they come from. But I went over it again in DuCoin, and I told the brother, and I said, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit talking about this until y'all prove me wrong. And nobody's given any rebuttal that has any proof to it. I said, I'm giving all kinds of scriptures. You know, I gave the one in Revelation 5, where it said the seven spirits of God being the seven candlesticks. It said that, here, I'll just read it to you in Revelations. I'm sticking with this until somebody does something better with it. In the sixth verse of chapter 5, Revelations 5 and 6, it says, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, even seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into the earth. I said, how these seven spirits of God are sent forth? Where did they, who sent them? Who took them forth? And if their eyes, you know, we've always taught prophets are eyes. That's our seers. I said, how does the spirit of understanding get to you if it's not a ministry? If a minister doesn't, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, how are you going to hear the word of God if there's not a preacher? If there's not a man with a gift, where are you going to get understanding from? It don't just float around in the air. Somebody has got to expound on the word of God. And it's sent forth into the earth. It's the eyes of God. It's our seers that see and understand the things of God, the word of God. And anyway, I didn't receive any rebuttal resistance. It's difficult if you do anything that brings about a change, and it's difficult for people to accept change. I don't know why it's not that big of a deal to me. We've got, you know, wisdom and understanding and knowledge and counsel and might and then the Spirit of the Lord and but I think there's ways that God manifests Himself in all of those seven different categories. In Romans 4, where it says there's one faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith is not just believing in God, but it's actually having God's nature and God's character imparted in understanding and wisdom, knowledge of the Word of God. These five gifts are what gives you faith. The operation of God through a ministry is how faith is brought about. You can't have faith just, you know, you're not just going to come up with it. Somewhere it's going to have to be imparted to you, and God's going to have to quicken you. It may be God may have chose men, that may be how He's chose to do it, but it's not the man. But it's a gift that's operating in men. Yet, men are imperfect vessels, developing and maybe going through a process to perfection. But, you know, we talked about that a little bit last week, about how you receive this and how you perceive it, how you respond to it. It's also how it's delivered, how it's presented. It takes, you know, the longer I'm in the ministry, the more I realize it takes development. You may have a gift, but a gift alone, the gift, just having the gift resided, a resident in your life doesn't mean that you can impart things in a way that they can be received. It takes wisdom. I don't care who you are. It takes help from God to be able to present the Word of God even in a gift. Yes.
I see what you're trying to tell us. For a person who hasn't been in this world, to forget this, it seems like they're always like...
Yeah, they're taping this, Brother Wanger. Let's get it on tape. Hold it up for it. Look at it on there. Thanks.
It seems like we need to have almost a system of grades, you know, to go through to get the whole thing. You can't do anything in the third grade if you haven't been through the second grade. You see what I mean? But on that principle, to teach a person this body. And multiplied with the condition of we're not all settled on any one doctrine. I mean, many doctrines. Let's talk about what you're talking about. All the brothers don't all agree with you, and they don't all agree with themselves. You know what I mean? There's so many views. But if a person has sat under a certain aged, I'll say, ministry, and it may be not only him, maybe a group of ministers that are all fixed on this doctrine. And when another one comes, feels like yourself, have a revelation that's better than that. It's you're saying, that's what you're saying to me, and I understand that it's hard to get this over. If you come up with what you feel just confident, assured that it fits because it's the keys work in it. You know, keys being understanding what the beast is, for example. The beast actually has a little different, there's different beasts. You know, and it's hard if a person doesn't have the basic, hasn't heard the keys. You know, they're confused when you get on past that and you're using the keys to prove another idea. You follow me? Then it's really difficult. I'm finding myself difficult because we've been taught and our doctrine's been changed by you know, all the time. If it wasn't changing, we wouldn't be getting more truth. You see what I mean? But how can we... It's like if somebody could write a book and set a schedule for the first grade, the second grade, you know, in growing and learning in our doctrines and teachings. How do you do it when you've got so many different doctrines that people are all locked in on this one, another one over locked in on that one, and you can't get them to listen close enough because their heart is fixed on what they've heard all their life, you see what I mean? And they can't hardly think different. Every time you say that word, they think this. And another one over here is thinking something else when you get that word. And I've been confused by that a little bit. That's why I'm coming up with this. I'm a little confused on which way to go. You see what I mean? I'm inclined, of course, to follow my pastor. I want to know when he changes so I can connect what I've been believing.
Right.
Connect upright.
All right. Before I go any further, I wanted to tell the girls in the teen class, I'm sorry I didn't get to y'all and let you know that since Brother Phil got married, I was going to have somebody take that class this morning, but since so many are not back, didn't come back, I thought, well, we'll just have them come to the adult class. But I'm sorry I didn't get that word to y'all, so forgive me for that. But next week, Brother Painter's going to relieve Brother Phil for a little while and let him get settled in with his new wife. And then he wants to continue. And that right there kind of goes along with some of what we're saying. That's one of the reasons that we're having these Bible classes, is I personally think that this class down here is probably one of the most important things that we do in this church. And people that don't come to it, I think, are missing out. Because this is where you'll really get doctrine and work on the Word of God. But we have to have the Spirit too. So I certainly don't want to, bring down any ideas about our regular worship services. I'm not talking about just this class here. I'm talking about even the classes for the children. Because our children need to know the Bible, and they need the stories of the Bible. One of our classes recently, a question was asked about who came across on the ark. The students in that class did not know. They did not know exactly who came over on the ark. That tells me they don't know the stories of the Bible, and we need that. We need our young people. They don't need to know great revelation when they're, 6 years old or even 15 years old. They need to know the Bible first. You're not going to get revelation of it until you just know the natural Word of God, just the knowledge of the stories in the Bible. You're an adult, you ought to be able to, in your mind, go through the Bible. Know from the beginning, and how the flood came, or the righteous line, the flood came, Abraham's calling. Then you ought to know about Isaac, how he got married, who he married, and Jacob and Esau, and what happened between those two twins. And then you need to know Jacob's 12 sons, the 12 patriarchs that became the 12 tribes of Israel, and how they wound up in Egypt in bondage. And then you need to know that Moses led them out of that, and their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And you need to know that Joshua took his place and carried them into the promised land. And then you need to know the kings, how it started off with Saul and David, and then Solomon, and then Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and how the kingdom was divided. You need to be able to go through in your mind in the Bible and know the stories and what took place, with the different prophets, the carrying away in Babylon, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Daniel. Those stories are important to know for you to get revelation of really what God's trying to show. And the poetic books in the Bible are important. There's some key poetic books that you need to have in your mind. And then, of course, the new covenant, Jesus coming to the world. If you don't really know some of the prophets, like the prophet Isaiah, some of the great prophecies, he was the greatest prophet that prophesied the coming of the Messiah. And you need to know some of Isaiah's prophecies to see how it was fulfilled in Christ. Or you just wonder, is all of this true that I'm hearing? That's why we encourage people, read your Bible. I would even encourage reading. I don't think we should. I think the King James Version is the most pure version of the Word of God that we have, and it's the version that God preserved for us that has the keys and the symbols in it. But as far as just getting the stories, I'd recommend you read the English Standard, the New International Standard. Read a simple version in English just to get the story. There wouldn't be anything wrong with that. To read, I know Brother Brown in Houston told me that he was having a Houston church last year or 2 years ago, read the Bible in a simple version. You're just trying to get them to get the stories in their mind. But getting back to, I'm just saying that I think that, see, I came up in the Assembly of God Church and other Pentecostal churches. And those are our brothers and sisters out there. We're not trying to just do away with all of that and not realizing they're God's people. There's good men of God out there, and they've got some good things. And if we're not careful, we'll throw good things away. A lot of churches in the body, I know, men are even against having what they call Sunday school out there. What in the world can you find wrong with learning the Bible? I think it's very important. And one of the reasons I'm doing it is because I grew up out there, and I know that's where I learned the stories of the Bible. And I've watched people that grew up in here that don't have those stories. They don't have the knowledge of that. Now, we got little quarterly Sundays. Every quarter of the year, we got what they call quarterlies. And every 7 years, those quarterlies simply take you through the whole Bible, the stories of the Bible. It doesn't try to reveal revelation to you or nothing. You just read your Sunday school lesson in the scriptures, and you'll get the story of Abraham. You'll get how God called him, what all he did. You'll get the same thing with every story in the Bible. You'll go through those stories and get a knowledge of what the Bible's saying about it. I think it would be good for, our young people. I'd like, I've been working on it some to get them on some kind of prescribed regimen of making sure that that these young people are getting the stories of the Bible, and it's laid out in a organized manner so that they can get it. That's not necessarily what Brother Weiniger's saying, but it goes along with what he's saying. But as far as us receiving truth and changing on things, just like in this class right here, everybody's not going to get everything. It's like Brother Weiniger said, we're all on deeper level, or different levels, not deeper, but different levels. But people there's people that are getting things, and they will, they'll share their mind on it. Eventually, they'll talk about it, and it'll finally get out. It's like when Brother Leniger died, the night he died, he was laying, we were in a room with double queen beds in it in Jacksonville, Florida, and I was laying here in this bed where the two beds came together. I was laying on, this is how we always did it, I laid on that edge of the bed, and he was in that bed on that edge. And we'd lay there at night a lot of times, talk, even after the lights were out, we'd talk, visit, and we were talking that night, and he was telling me, he told me that day, he said, my ministry's finished. I know God has showed me that. He said, in fact, for 3 days, he told me, I never saw him in this state before. He was so broken in that meeting, and the first day, he told me, with tears running down his face, he said, Brother Smith, I know God showed me my ministry's over. That's amazing to me. To me, Brother Leniger prophesied his own death. He told Brother Weiniger and I that night, we left Burger King in Brother Weiniger's van, and Brother Weiniger drove us over to the motel. Brother Weiniger was staying in another hotel right nearby, and he let us out. But before he let us out, Brother Leniger said, I have so much stress on me. He said, if I don't have a major heart attack or a stroke before this meeting's over, it'll be a miracle of God. And he gave us a scripture in Psalms. I've tried to find that scripture And I could probably find it if I just really will dig. But I can't come up with it. I've tried to come up with it in my mind several times. He gave us a scripture that he said, this is how I feel. And it was a scripture about how Jesus felt when he had so much opposition. Well, anyway, when Brother Linger said that, he was dead 2 hours later. But in our room, we were laying there talking. The lights were out. And he was telling me, he said, I know that what God has given me for this body, I have all confidence that it will go forth. I've done what God wanted me to do. I've gave it out. It was received in a lot of opposition, but he said, there's men that have it. There's more men that's received it than what a lot of people know. And he said, there's men like you and that I know's got it. He said, I know you got this message. And there's, you know, he mentioned Brother Randy Liniger and other men that he'd worked with, and other men even in different places in the body that, you know, talked to him quite a bit, that was receiving things that he felt was revelation. But so what I'm saying is, it's not left up to men. It's left up to God. This is God's work, and he will get it done. I have utmost confidence that God's going to do what he said he's going to do, and he's going to accomplish exactly what he said he's going to accomplish. And I don't think we can rush him. I don't think we can. I think we can fall behind, but we can't get ahead of God. You can try, but we're not going to restore the church any quicker than he's ready for it to be restored. We're not going to move into a place where we don't even know how to get there. So God's got to do that. Yes, Brother McGowan. Yes, he said that the thought crossed his mind that God's moving his people as fast as they can stand it. You know, I've had that feeling about the Dominican Republic. Brother Elias, for many years, kept telling me, Brother Smith, you've got to come over here more. You've got to spend more time with us. And I told him, I said, and you know, I mean, the thought has hit me many times. What could be over here if I would spend more time over here? But then I have to, you know, consider that I'm not like Nick Gruick. Nick Gruick didn't have another responsibility. He didn't pastor a church. He didn't have other churches that he was over. He had the work in Haiti. And that's why he could live with it. It was just 12 years that he founded that work and planted it. And then he died. And so I've already been in the Dominican Republic longer than 12 years. But I keep telling Brother Elias, I said, we're probably going as fast as God wants us to go. I can't get here any more often, and I can't, and, you know, it's probably doing just exactly what God wants it to do. Or, you know, I mean, I couldn't say we couldn't do any better, but I just don't think that the Lord is trying to move that any faster than what's moving. And in the same way in the body, he's not requiring, I don't see God requiring more out of us than what we're coming up with. He is the head of this, and he's in charge. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean that every minister's doing everything right. There's phases even for ministers in this. There may be phases for you saints to grow, but there's phases for ministers to develop. I'll just be honest with y'all. I'd hate for this exact same class to be here and me be your pastor where I was 20 years ago or 30. It'd be, I'll tell you right now, it'd be rough in here. It'd be a bad deal. Y'all wouldn't want me around here. And some of you may be having trouble now, but I guarantee you it's a whole lot better than what it was would have been back then. Because time for me to develop. I was thinking, you know, today about younger men developing. There's so much involved in developing young men and in the ministry, and a lot of it we've produced here in this body a desire in men to want to, you know, be in the ministry, because most of our saints know more about the truths of the Word of God than most preachers out there. And let's go back to those seven spirits of God just a second. See, I hope y'all are not thinking that I'm saying that like the spirit of knowledge only resides in a teacher. I'm just telling you that's the source God uses for you to have the spirit of knowledge. The spirit of God's spirit of knowledge works in you once it's imparted to you. But I'm telling you, he's got gifted men that have anointed gifts that imparts it. That's where the source is. The source is God. It flows through a vessel that he's given a gift. But when you get it, you got it. And the spirit of knowledge resides in you. Because you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you're a child of God, and it's been quickened to you. So I hope you're not thinking he's saying that only you got to be an anointed, gifted man of God to have any one of these spirits. No, I'm telling you, everybody in the church, it's available. The seven spirits of God are available to everybody once it's imparted to them. God's just got to have an avenue to get it to you. So I'm just saying that's God's method. Of the seven spirits of God are in the church. And the church is the seven spirit, the seven golden candlestick when it's in a restored condition. And everybody in there lights it up with some measure of light. Right. That's God's work, and it's taken God time. He's long suffering with it, but eventually the truth is going to come forth and it's going to overcome darkness. You know, every time you get you can walk in a room that's totally pitch dark and just light a match, and it won't light up the whole room, but that match will utterly void out whatever measure of darkness that amount of light takes up. And you can't, it does away with it. And, of course, the more light there is, the less darkness there is. And so God, as he restores truth, you know, there's things that you people believe that's light, that darkness never will overcome you in those areas ever again. If you got the truth in certain areas, like for an example, the truth on the... I'm not sure if all of our saints in the body, I'm sure not in the body, but I'm more responsible for right here, but, you know, there's something we believe that's absolutely phenomenal, and that's the belief on the Godhead. That is a phenomenal revelation that almost no one has it in any other group of people. I haven't met anybody that has it right in any other group of people. God touched, in the Pentecostal move, God touched, the Catholic Church came up with the Holy Trinity. But in the pouring out of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God did touch some men. which later became the apostolic churches and the United Pentecostal churches, and gave them a revelation on Jesus' name. That's really what they got revelation on, was on Jesus' name. They're called Jesus' name people. United Pentecost. There's a barber up in the Republic that I became friends with that pastors United Pentecostal Church. But they carried that doctrine so far that it became damnable doctrine. Because what they believe is that God and Jesus is the same person. That there's only one God. And Jesus came here. He was God on this earth in the form of a man. And they believe that if you believe that Jesus is different from God, that you are worshiping an idol and you're going straight to hell. They believe that with all their heart, and that is their major doctrine. They believe that if you believe Jesus is the Son of God and a separate person from God, that you are an idol worshiper, and there's no way you can go to heaven worshiping an idol, because you are worshiping a false idea about God. Their revelation was, though, that Jesus, that, you know, the baptism, they got a revelation that when you baptize in Jesus' name, now they don't have this all right. They don't have water baptism right. They just believe that when you baptize in saying, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost," they got the revelation that the name is Jesus. Jesus said, "I come in my Father's name." They got all of that revelation that the right name to baptize in is Jesus. But they believe you got to say it. That it, you know, it don't matter who does it. In other words, if you went to their church and said, "I've been baptized in," when they baptized me, they said, "I baptize you in Jesus' name," they'd accept that. We know that you weren't baptized right. I don't care what they said. You don't even have to say it. You got to be in the name to put somebody in it. No one but those 12 apostles and ministers that were working in submission with them were in the name. And no one else could put you in the name but the ordained men of God. And so saying it doesn't do anything. It's whether or not you are authorized to baptize someone in the body of Christ. And of course, we've had so much, you know, so much division that I do believe God honors people's faith. They're trying to be obedient. They see they need to be baptized. They're doing what their pastors in the ministry's telling them, but the ministry's telling them wrong. The people in United Pentecostal Church, the Apostolic Church, and I'm going to tell you something, those are hard people to deal with. There were several splits of Pentecostal, Holiness, Apostolic, or United Pentecostal churches in Springfield, Missouri, and we had some of the people come to our church. The minute they found out we believed that God and Jesus are two different people, we never seen them again. I tried to hide it from them for a long time. I'd tell them we're Jesus' name people. We believe in baptizing in Jesus' name. That made them keep coming. But they would keep after you, Brother Daniels, until they found out, who is Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is? Well, I couldn't deny my Lord. And I couldn't deny the fact that he was a son of God. And that in the beginning, God had Jesus create all this. See, they don't, even Brother Joel Hemphill, he's from the Oneness group of people. And he got a revelation from this European, this guy from the, you know, he's a real scholar. And this guy got him to receive the revelation that Jesus was the Son of God. But he didn't exist until he was formed in the womb of Mary. He never pre-existed. That's Brother Hemphill is working on the United Pentecostal people. I got him alone and started giving him a bunch of scriptures, and he said, you're going to have to leave me alone. I said, why? He said, because he said, what I'm doing and what I'm seeing is all I can take right now. He said, so, you know, just leave me alone. And I said, okay. I said, well, you're doing a good job if you can get the United Pentecostal to believe that Jesus is a separate being than God the Father. I said, get them to believe that, and then I'll help you help them believe that he pre-existed, because he did. But it's a major change, you know, for him to begin to get men to accept the fact. He's using all of our scriptures. They do have a revelation, but see, it's just a little strike. He just striking a match in a dark room, and he just got a little bit of light shining, you know, that. But it is done away with some darkness. So what I'm saying is that God, we got to leave some of this up to God. If you think it's hard for us to get some of our brethren to change on some things, how much harder is it going to be for us to get some brethren out there to change? So God, he's using men out there to help them. He's changing men out there. God's not ready to bring all this together in one body yet. We can't handle that. Number one, we're not capable of handling it, but they're not capable of accepting it either yet. So God's got a big project he's working on. And I'm telling you, if our timetable's right, God's got a lot of work to do in a short period of time. He's got a long way to go and a short time to get there. we need a bigger match. Well, the Lord's... But faith, your faith is the Word of God that's been imparted to you with an Holy Ghost anointing that was quickened to you. And when that's quickened to you and you know that's the true Word of God, you have to do it. And you can call it faith, but it's just dead faith if you don't have to do it. Now, you can also have faith quickened to you and still not do it. You can slumber, you can sleep, you can be slothful. So doing the Word of God, Jesus said that. He showed they that hear these words of mine and do them. He added that do them. But those that hear it and do it not. He showed that you can hear it and not do it. And you'd be like building on the sand of the sea. There's no foundation. You're not, what makes it live faith, what makes it a real true worship is when you do it. When you do it, you're building a foundation in your life and it gets to be a part of you. And so there's just one faith, but that faith is the Word of God and whatever's been measured to you. That's how much faith you have. That's why faith is it's like a light. You can only walk in as much light as you've got. You can only see so far. But we're still seeing through a glass darkly, but the time's going to come where we'll see clearly. You keep growing in God, you finally see the whole picture. You'll have it clear. You'll get a clear understanding. All right, let's take a break and go upstairs, see what the Lord has for us today.